Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 124 for the February 2018 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews you might find interesting. These episodes have an open submission policy, and I encourage you to send in clips to help promote the comics you love as often as you can. Now, there are thousands of items in previews each and every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. Now, as always, we'll be starting at the beginning of previews and working our way to the back. Obviously, we aren't going to go item by item or page by page. We're just going to hit the highlights. So with that, let's get going. My first pick is on page 29 of the previews catalog, and it is the previews catalog. Well, not everyone pre-orders. For those who do, previews is essential. If you're looking for something new to read, previews is the place to go. For the price of a comic book, you can get over 600 pages of information about upcoming comics, toys, and games. You also get the Marvel previews included with that, and that's a $1.25 value. So previews is where it's at. That's right, it slices, it dices, it juliennes, whatever that is. And for just $3.99, previews can be yours. So don't miss out, get previews today.
And we're back with another episode of the Comic Book Pages Previews Edition. My name is Chris Brawley. I go by Brawlinator on the forums and online. My first pick is from the Dark Horse section on page 46. It's Frank Miller returning to the world of 300 with a sprawling historical epic. The solicit reads, Persian King Xerxes sets out to conquer the world and avenge his father Darius's defeat and create an empire, unlike anything the world has ever seen. Until the hardy Greeks produce a god king of their own, Alexander the Great. Historical inaccuracies aside, Frank Miller writes and draws this long-awaited companion to his masterpiece 300, so this is notable. This is issue 1 of 5. The title is a mouthful, Xerxes, the Fall of the House of Darius and the Rise of Alexander. According to Frank Miller, 300 was an interlude in the great story of the Persian Wars. The Battle of 300 represented one episode in a much greater series of wars, and this mini-series tells the story of the first great clash of civilizations, the first bloody contest between East and West. The odds vastly favor the Persian forces, but the Greeks have Alexander, the greatest military commander of all time. I enjoyed 300 immensely, but I hope there is a strong editorial hand that will guide Miller to produce his best work here. That's my first concern. I've seen some of the art available in the preview catalog, and it isn't bad, but not up to his 300 work. I know Frank has had some health issues, but I thought Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, was exceptional. Now, this is just my opinion. I'm only seeing a couple of pages here, so I can't speak with any certainty. My other concern is this is a deluxe collector format. So you're getting 30 pages of story, but Preview says the cover price is $5.99, while Dark Horse's website says $4.99. But it looks like, according to DCBS, the comic book does indeed sport the $6 cover. Now, I haven't finalized my pre-order yet. I usually wait until I've listened to this episode fully. But this book right now is in the maybe column, and I wanted to bring it to the listener's attention because it's certainly notable and it's potentially awesome. Check it out if you're interested. Again, it's over on page 46 of this month's previews, Xerxes, the Fall of the House of Darius and the Rise of Alexander, number 1, from Frank Miller.
There isn't much else for me to say about my next pick, which is the long-awaited Xerxes, The Fall of the House of Darius, number 1, on page 46 from Dark Horse. Brawlinator pretty much summed it all up. I think 300 was a lot of fun, and Frank Miller's, well, Frank Miller. Now, will Xerxes live up to the reputation that 300 established? I don't know, but I'll be getting it to find out, and you might want to think about that too.
Hey, it's Drew, coming to you from the Hocking Hills of Ohio, your co-host for the weekly Comic Spotlight and my very own Comics for Fun and Profit podcast, with my first pick, and it is Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 1, from Dark Horse. It's back, so that's awesome. We had a little detour with a mini-series set in the world that was taking a look at some of the B characters. But now we're back with the A-Team. We're going to look at them. And this is, of course, a Jeff Lemire book with art by Dean Ormston. Really great stuff. I really enjoy the setting, the plot, the characters. You know, in the mystery that's going on, it's so much fun in a bunch of different ways. It's what you wanted out of a comic book. Hey, and it won an Eisner for Best New Series. So you should check it out. This will be a chance to get in on the ground floor. I'm sure it'll be accessible for you. So check out Black Hammer, Age of Doom number 1 from Dark Horse.
Hi, I'm Billy Hogan, host of the Superman Fan Podcast, and I go by Superman Fan on the forums. And my first pick this month comes in the Dark Horse section on page 50 with Black Hammer, Age of Doom, number 1. Jeff Lemire, writer, Dean Ormston, cover and story artist, Dave Stewart, colorist, and Scotty Young, variant cover artist. On sale April 18th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99. The Eisner Award-winning superhero saga returns. Picking up immediately where we left off, Lucy Weber has become the new Black Hammer, and right as she's about to reveal to our heroes how they got stuck on the farm and can escape, she vanishes. Now our new Black Hammer finds herself trapped in a gritty world filled with punk rock detectives, emo gods, anthropomorphic humans, absurdist heroes, and many more weirdos, and a mad world in which there is no escape. Winner of the Eisner Award for Best New Series. Also available, Black Hammer Volume 1, Secret Origins for $14.99, and Black Hammer Volume 2, The Event for $19.99, and there are two pages of art for you to check out. I'm really enjoying the superhero world of Black Hammer. While the superhero analogs of the Black Hammer heroes are easy to spot, they're not copycat, but original twists on the superhero genre, and I'm looking forward to exploring the superhero world of Black Hammer.
Hi, this is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick in the Dark Horse section on page 52, and it's Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows from the world of Black Hammer, issue number 2 of 4. Wait, you're saying, Todd, didn't you just do this last month? Didn't you do Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows from the world of Black Hammer, number 1 of 4? Yes, I did. Nice of you to remember. But why am I doing it again? Month after month, I am growing more and more in love with Jeff Lemire's writing. He is really good. And his Black Hammer universe, where he's got the original Black Hammer series, I think you'll hear more about that on an earlier recording in this month's show. And he just completed the Sherlock Frankenstein series. That was really fun. Well, this is Dr. Star. It's in the same universe. It's not drawn by him. It's drawn by Max Fiomara, but with Dave Stewart on the colors. And sorry, I threw myself off there on the Dave Stewart on the covers. That's a C. Is that cover or colors? Anyway, it's a 32-page issue for $3.99. It's a mini-series. Jeff Lemire is really just really ginchy. I really like his writing. He has really grown into something terrific. I look forward to everything he does. Not everything hits, but I look forward to reading it to see if it's going to hit. And right now, everything he's doing is hitting. The solicit is basically a quick paragraph. Astro crime fighter Dr. Star discovers a sprawling alien city that desperately needs his help to defend itself against powerful intergalactic space monster. Wow, that sure sounds common, huh? Well, Jeff Lemire is not common. He's really great. And if you haven't heard of him, I would be shocked. If you haven't read of him, I would be surprised. If you have heard of him and haven't read of him, what are you waiting for?
Billy Hogan again. My second pick comes still in the Dark Horse section on page 52 with Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows from the world of Black Hammer, number 2 of 4. Jeff Lemire, writer, Max Fiumara, pardon me if I mispronounce that name, cover and story artist, Dave Stewart, colorist, and J.G. Jones, variant cover artist. On sale April 4th, full color, 32 pages for $3.99, and this is a mini-series. Astro crime fighter Dr. Star discovers a sprawling alien city that desperately needs his help to defend itself against a powerful intergalactic space monster. Ties directly into the Eisner Award-winning Black Hammer comic book series and is written by main writer Jeff Lemire. As I said in the first clip, I'm really enjoying the superhero world that Jeff Lemire and the rest of the creative team are creating with Black Hammer, and I can't wait until I get the first issue of this miniseries in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service at the end of the month.
Hi, Nathan here for my previews pick of the month. Aliens Dust to Dust number 1 of 4 from Dark Horse Comics. I am a sucker for an Aliens book. Aliens is one of my favorite movies of all time. I love Ellen Ripley. Sigourney Weaver is phenomenal in that role. And so I've always gravitated towards all the Aliens comic books, and I grab any Aliens book I can get. Obviously, when you're doing properties like this, some are hits, some are misses, but overall, I generally love all the Alien ones. This new one, Dust to Dust, is from Gabriel Hardman. He's done a variety of stuff. He's worked on a lot of Christopher Nolan's movies, Interstellar, Dark Knight Rises, and a variety of other comic book work. He does some writing, drawing, and he also has the upcoming Green Lantern Earth One hardcover coming out, which I'm really looking forward to. But anyway, this book right here is Aliens Dust to Dust. The description is: the Trono colony on LV-871 is under attack. Emergency evacuations are ordered. Evac shuttles are taking off. All 12-year-old Maxon and his mom have to do is make it to the spaceport. Except between them and it are aliens. A terrifying coming-of-age story by master storyteller Gabriel Hardman. This is coming out on April 25th, the day before Alien Day. If you aren't familiar with Alien Day, the original movies, the planet in Alien and Aliens, was LV-426. 426, April 26th. So anyway, every year now Dark Horse Comics and Fox, they have Alien Day where they try to put out some special product. And so this is the one they've got coming out this year for that. Just looking at the cover for it, which is really all I have seen so far, it is some phenomenal alien looking art with some very scared mother and little child down in the front. But anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to this coming month. Aliens Dust to Dust, number 1 of 4.
Aloha! This is Jason from Hawaii. My first pick for this month's preview spotlight comes from the Dark Horse section on page 53. It's Aliens Dust to Dust number 1 of 4, written and drawn by Gabriel Hardman. Now, the solicit reads, "The Trono colony on LV-871 is under attack. Emergency evacuations are ordered. Evac shuttles are taking off. All 12-year-old Maxon and his mom have to do is make it to the spaceport. Except between them and it are aliens." A terrifying coming-of-age story by master storyteller Gabriel Hardman. Now, I'm picking up this miniseries because, you know, I love Gabriel Hardman's artwork. It looks really great. Now, if you look on page 53, the cover for this miniseries, it just looks awesome. I just love it looks like the grittiness, of Gabriel Hardman's artwork, really adds to this storyline. So if you guys get a chance, pick up Aliens Dust to Dust number 1. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
Resident Alien Returns. On page 65 is Resident Alien, Alien in New York number 1 from Dark Horse. This murder mystery with a sci-fi bent is a lot of fun. Imagine Murder, She Wrote if it starred my favorite Martian. It's not exactly like that, but it's close enough. I've read the previous installments of this series of miniseries and enjoyed them. And if you're looking for a down-to-earth mystery featuring a not-so-down-to-earth lead character, this is the series for you. Once again, that's Resident Alien, Alien in New York, number 1 on page 65.
Billy Hogan again. My third pick is still in the Dark Horse section, this time on page 68, with Usagi Yojimbo, The Hidden, number 2 of 7. Stan Sakai, writer, cover, and story artist. On sale April 18th, black and white, 28 pages for $3.99. And this is a miniseries. Usagi and Inspector Ishida identify the recent murder victims and find that their backgrounds hint at a much larger conspiracy. With the key piece of evidence robbed off the corpses by a thief, however, our daring duo must race against the clock to retrieve it before the killers do. Inspector Ishida is quickly becoming one of my favorite supporting characters of Usagi Yojimbo. He reminds me a bit of Joe Friday from the old series Dragnet, but he has a bit of a subtle sense of humor, like his partner, played by the late actor Harry Morgan. While I'm not very good at solving any mystery story, whether in prose or in comic books, I'm looking forward to this latest case involving Inspector Ishida and Usagi Yojimbo. Billy Hogan again. My fourth pick comes this time in the DC Comics section with Action Comics 1000. Now, in my collection, I believe I have issues 600 through 900, so I'm looking forward to this special milestone issue. Cover by Jim Lee and Scott Williams. Stories and art by an all-star lineup of top talent. Celebrate 1,000 issues of Action Comics with an all-star lineup of top talent as they pay tribute to the comic that started it all. From today's explosive action to a previously unpublished tale illustrated by the legendary Kurt Swan to the Man of Tomorrow's future, this very special oversized issue presents the best of the best in Superman stories. Prestige format, no ads, on sale April 18th. 80 pages, which rings a bell with me since I grew up in the 60s with the classic 80-page giants from DC Comics. It's full color for the cover price of $7.99, but if you order it through Discount Comic Book Service, you'll get a special discount and you only have to pay $3.99. It features all new art and stories by Brian Michael Bendis and a cover by Jim Lee. Also, stories by John Cassaday, Olivier Coipel, Paul Denny, Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, Patrick Gleason, Butch Geis, Jeff Johns, Dan Jurgens, Tom King, Clay Mann, Brad Meltzer, Jerry Ordway, Tim Sale, Louise Simonson, Scott Snyder, Kurt Swan, Peter J. Tomasi, Marv Wolfman, and more. Decades-spanning open-to-order variant covers by Steve Rude, featuring the 1930s, Michael Cho, the 1940s, Dave Gibbons, 1950s, Michael Allred, the 1960s, Jim Steranko, 1970s, Joshua Middleton, 1980s, Dan Jurgens, 1990s, and Lee Bermejo, 2000s, plus a blank variant cover. Now, I'm just getting the regular cover, which features Superman back in his trunks, which, as a Silver Age fan, I'm looking forward to. And I hope you'll check out Action Comics 1000. I mean, what's not to like about this special milestone issue?
Thanks, Billy, for talking about Action Comics 1000 on page 83 there. That's one of my picks, too. I mean, obviously, I'm going to be getting it. It's Superman, it's Action Comics, it's 1000. This looks like a fun celebration of 1,000 issues of Action Comics by just some truly amazing creators. And even if you don't normally read Superman or Action, or even if you're not that big of a fan of the character, honestly, I think you might want to consider checking this milestone issue out. I think it's a big deal for really the first superhero character out there to hit 1,000 issues. Now granted, it went weekly for a bit, it's gone bi-weekly for a bit, you know, I'm not saying it's gone 1,000 months, but it's gone 1,000 issues. I think that's worth checking out. And again, it's a stellar lineup of creators on this, so I think it's worth checking out. Once again, Action Comics 1000 on page 83.
Billy Hogan again. My fifth pick comes in the DC Comics section on page 87 with The Terrifics number 3, written by Jeff Lemire, art by Ivan Reis and Joe Prado, and cover by Ivan Reis. Meet the Terrifics Part 3. When will the superhero team bound by dark multiversal magic ever get any privacy? It certainly won't be today, because while Mr. Terrific fervently works to free himself from Metamorpho, Plastic Man and Phantom Girl, but mostly Plastic Man, the team must also contend with the towering, rolling death inferno that is the War Wheel. On sale April 25th, 32 pages for $2.99. I have a soft spot in my heart for Metamorpho, going all the way back to the ads for his original series back in the mid-1960s. And while the Phantom Girl in this series, I've learned from online sources, is not the same Phantom Girl from the Legion of Superheroes, but one of her ancestors, I still like the connection because I'm such a Legion fan, second only to Superman. So I'm looking forward to checking out this series, which I believe should be coming in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service at the end of this month.
Hello there, this is Alan. Alan in Japan, Alien Al on the forum. With my first pick in this month's preview spotlight, I'm in the DC section of the catalog on page 92, and the title is Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. Number 21, written by Julie Benson and Shauna Benson, art by Rogue, I don't know, perhaps. Cover by Terry Dodson and Rachel Dodson, variant cover by Kamome Shirahama. All right, it's full circle, part three. The Calculator has broken Blackbird and Finis out of Arkham Asylum, putting targets on Batgirl's and Huntress's backs. And while our heroes are out of the picture, Calculator holds Gotham City hostage in exchange for Oracle's identity. The team will have to risk setting a trap for Calculator, a dangerous move that could expose Barbara Gordon's deepest secrets. This one's on sale April 11th, 32 pages, full color for $3.99. I've been reading the series since Inception and Rebirth, and I've enjoyed it. I've just recently heard Julie Benson and Shauna Benson on the CGS podcast, and you know, they encouraged me to continue picking up their series because of their enthusiasm. And, you know, of course, the geeks over there, you know, are behind them. And also Tom King was on that broadcast, too. So that was really fun to hear. Okay, that's all for now. On to the next pick.
My next pick is on page 93, and it's Batman number 45. Now, I'm a big fan of time travel, and Booster Gold guest stars in this story, and he's recruiting Batman and Catwoman to rescue Booster Gold from Booster Gold. That's right, not one, not two, but three Booster Golds. So this will probably have more Booster Gold than we can possibly imagine, but it should be a pretty fun time travel story that I think is worth checking out. Once again, that's Batman 45 on page 93. My next pick is on page 105, and it's Deathstroke number 30 from DC. This issue kicks off a six-issue storyline that questions if Damian Wayne is really Batman's son, or if he's Deathstroke's son. This will be Batman versus Deathstroke in a no-holds-barred custody battle. Now, I don't know if that's more literal battle between Batman and Deathstroke, or if it's going to be like a bunch of courtroom scenes and social services gets called in and character witnesses. I don't know. It's probably a little of both. Or probably more the action stuff. It's written by Christopher Priest, so, you know, his stuff doesn't always work for me, but this is a really cool concept, and I'm curious to see what happens here. And if nothing else, I really want to see some scenes between Damian and Deathstroke, because I think that'll be a blast. Once again, this is Deathstroke number 30 on page 105. Check it out. My next pick is Nightwing number 43 on page 117. Now, Robin and Arsenal are guest starring in this issue. Now, Nightwing just kind of wants a night to relax or whatever, and he's got to deal with the League of Assassins, he's got to keep Robin and Arsenal from killing each other, and oh yeah, there's Arsenal's sometimes girlfriend who's out to kill him too. So, not going to be an easy night for him. So check out The Brave, The Obnoxious, and The Inept in Nightwing number 43 from DC on page 117.
Billy Hogan again. My sixth and seventh picks are still in the DC Comics section on page 120 with Superman number 44 and 45, written by Patrick Gleason and Peter J. Tomasi, art by Patrick Gleason and others, covers by Patrick Gleason, variant covers by John Boy Myers. Boy Zorro, Redeath, Part 3. Gathered together from the cosmic recesses of the universe are the most powerful forces of bad ever assembled. Now the super foes face the Legion of Fun, and the only heroes who dare to stand against this intergalactic threat of the Bizarroverse are Superman and Son. Boy Zorro, Redeath, Finale. The challenge of the Bizarroverse continues as the super foes battle the Legion of Fun. As Superman and Son return to Hamilton for a quick recharge, they learn what the little town truly meant to them and what they meant to the locals of the town. Issue 44 on sale April 4th. Issue 45 on sale April 18th. Each issue is 32 pages for $2.99. I have a soft spot for the Bizarros, going all the way back to the mid-1960s with a 80-page giant issue of Superman featuring all Bizarro stories. So I'm looking forward to this storyline. I'm continuing to enjoy the Superman stories in Action Comics and Superman ever since Rebirth began. I have yet to be disappointed by a storyline yet, and I'm more excited about reading Superman stories like I haven't been in quite a few years.
This is Dr. Mo with my first pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Wildstorm number 13 from DC Comics. John Lynch wants the director of IO, the secret deep state agency that runs Earth, is on the road. His darkest project, Thunderbolt, has been uncovered, and he needs to warn the principals, now scattered across America, hiding, because they were his most successful experiments, and none of them are completely human anymore. This new arc of the Wildstorm seems to be delving into one of my favorite Wildstorm properties, Gen 13. Back in the early 90s, I could not get enough of Caitlin Fairchild, Grunge, Roxy, Burnout, Rainmaker, the kids that comprise that original series created by Jim Lee and J. Scott Campbell. I just absolutely love that property. I love the different variations that it took on over the years. I was not a big fan of some of the more recent incarnations. I am very curious about how Warren Ellis will interpret Gen 13. He has familiarity with the property. He wrote at least two Gen 13 specials that I can think of during the 90s, and he also wrote a Gen 13 spinoff series called DV8. So I'm really curious how he's going to interpret these characters. I'm really curious about the name he's going to use, because Gen 13 was always a problematic name to begin with. So if he's calling these guys, you know, Thunderbolt or something, we'll just see what happens. But I've really been enjoying the Wildstorm. I just cannot get enough of these characters, Warren Ellis's new interpretation of them. John Davis Hunt is just a phenomenal artist. I really think after this book, he's going to take off and do some great things. The Wildstorm number 13 can be found on page 130 of Previews. Now note, I'm recording this clip on February 9th, 2018. I've just learned that The Wildstorm number 12 has been delayed. So I'm assuming that this issue, number 13, will also be delayed. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully they'll bounce back. But the delays will not keep me from buying this title when it comes out. And hopefully this is a new jumping point for people who are old school fans of the property and who are fans of Warren Ellis.
It's Drew with a melancholy pick from DC Vertigo. It's Astro City 52. This is the final issue of Astro City. For now, it says. It seems that, you know, if you've been following the sales, they've dropped below 10,000 or right around there. A pretty low mark for a single issue comic from the big two publishers. So Kurt Busiek's going to go to a graphic novel schedule instead. trade model and collect 5 or 6 and throw that out like that. It's going to be a bummer. Best part about Astro City is they're usually 1-and-dones, 2-and-dones. And so I'm really going to miss this comic and how great it was and how much fun I had reading this. So I hope it's not gone for long, and hopefully it comes back with a vengeance. Maybe a series of miniseries or something. I don't know. But of course, Kurt Busiek is the writer. Brett Anderson does the art with beautiful Alex Ross covers. This is the final issue, single comic issue of Astro City's great run on Vertigo. So check that out, Astro City 52 from DC Vertigo.
Billy Hogan again. I'm still in the DC Comics section, this time in the Vertigo part, on page 149 with Astro City number 52, written by Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, and cover by Alex Ross. It's the final issue of Astro City, for now. Michael Tenasek lost his world years ago. Now he may lose another, as ordinary life among the extraordinary takes a shattering turn, a character-focused finale to the ongoing Vertigo Astro City series, and a launch point for its new form, guest starring the Hanged Man, Honor Guard, and more. On sale April 18th, 32 pages, full color for $3.99. And as I understand it, the series isn't going completely away. From what I've read online, it's going to go to a straight-to-trade paperback format, but more information is yet to come. I haven't heard when the first such new edition of Astro City is going to be published. So stay tuned to your favorite comic book source on the internet. I'm disappointed to see this series end in the monthly format because I'm not sure I'll be able to afford the new trade paperback form, but I'll just have to put it on my wish list for birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries. If you love superhero comic books but are tired of the regular superhero stories coming from Marvel and DC, I would recommend checking out Astro City. Now, they're rooted in the superhero genre, and some of the characters are reminiscent of heroes you see in Marvel or DC, but they're done in a very original way and explores the superhero genre by looking behind the mask and looking at the life of a superhero and sometimes supervillains, as well as ordinary people who have to live and survive in a world with superheroes in a way that Marvel and DC just can't or won't do. So I hope you'll check out Astro City in whatever form it's published.
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. I'm here with my first pick of the week in the previews catalog. So go ahead and turn to page 175, and I'm looking at the X-Files, Case Files, Florida Man, number one. So I read through it. And I'm a big fan of the X-Files, but this little section here I think is really interesting. It says, our initial offering comes from Star Wars author Delilah Dawson and artist Marco Castillo. In Florida Man, Scully and Mulder are sent to a small Florida town to investigate a rash. They're investigating a rash? Wait, hold on a second.
No. Keep reading, Heidi. It's not about investigating a rash. Oh. Just keep reading.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So here we go. So investigate a rash. Oh, of bizarre crimes. Okay. Investigate a rash of bizarre crimes only to find themselves in the clutches of an alligator worshiping cult. We live in South Florida. That sounds just like us. So that's why I think everybody should get it. It's on page 175. It's $3.99. Come on, it's the X-Files. And it's Florida. Who doesn't like cults of, alligator worshiping people? I mean, come on, it just sounds great. So make sure you go ahead and check it out.
Yeah, Heidi, we gotta go. We gotta go to our alligator cult right now.
Let's go. We're late.
Yeah. Brawlinator again, and for my next pick, I'm in the Image section on page 198. It's called Analog, and it's being written by Jerry Duggan, author of such indie titles as Deadpool, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Uncanny Avengers. The story here takes place 5 years from now, and the security of the internet has been totally destroyed, so secrets are no longer sent over the web. They're entrusted to armed couriers called Ledger Men. And that's what our protagonist, Jack McGinnis, is. He's got a gun in one hand and a briefcase handcuffed to the other. Danger lurks around every corner, and Jack has to watch his back because he actually had a part in the cyber attack that changed the world. Of course, the name Analog is obviously a counter to the term digital, since we can't use the internet in this world anymore. And some people may think this sounds dystopian, but others may think it sounds like a paradise. Get in on the ground floor of this new ongoing series that involves spies, mercenaries, fascists, and a very grumpy artificial intelligence. The art by David O'Sullivan looks great. Check it out for yourself. It's on page 198 of this month's previews.
There isn't much else for me to say about my next pick, which is also Analog number 1 on page 198 from Image Comics, other than I'll be checking it out too.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Isola, number 1 from Image Comics. The captain of the Royal Guard has fled the capital city with the Queen of Mar, suffering under the effects of an evil spell. Captain Rook's only hope of returning Queen Orlin to her throne and saving the kingdom from impending war lies in an island half a world away, a place known in myth as Isola, Land of the Dead. Isola number 1 is written by Brendan Fletcher and Carl Kershaw. Art is provided by Carl Kershaw and an artist whose name I cannot pronounce. The two previously had worked together on Gotham Academy. Isola has been previewed in the pages of Motor Crush for a number of issues now, actually. And so I was kind of familiar with the series when the solicitation was announced. But based on the preview pages in Motor Crush and what was featured in previews has whet my appetite for this series. I can be hit or miss when it comes to fantasy, but the lush artwork of Kershaw has really drawn me in. I was a fan of his going back to a Teen Titans Year One series he did for DC Comics a number of years ago. I'm certainly willing to give this a few issues. If you're looking for something in the fantasy realm, perhaps you should give this a try. This team has been working together for a while now, and I think the energy of the pages will definitely draw you in. Isola number 1 can be found on page 200 of previews and costs $3.99.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's The Dead Hand number 1 from Image Comics. Cold War Relics Part 1. Carter Carlson was a highly decorated operative during the Cold War, but in the fall of 1991, as the Soviet Union collapsed, Carter discovered a secret that not only changed his life, but also altered the course of history. Now, as the mysterious Dead Hand threatens to end the world once more, the only thing standing in its way is the relationship between an old spy and a little boy. The Dead Hand is brought to you by writer Carl Higgins and artist Stephen Mooney, with colors provided by Jordy Belair. I'm a huge fan of James Bond, so when I heard about this new spy-fi type series being produced at Image Comics, I was definitely curious about the property, but it wasn't until I saw some of the sample pages, read some interviews with the creative team, that really sold me on adding this to my pull list, at least for the first couple issues. Kyle Higgins, of course, is a known quantity. He's worked on various Nightwing series. Stephen Mooney has done some work for IDW. He also did fill-ins on Grace. If you're a fan of spy comics, go ahead and give this a sample. It has a solid, if not consistent, creative team. I think it's worth the investment of at least your $3.99 for the first issue, possibly the second issue. The Dead Hand number 1 can be found on page 204 of previews.
Hello, this is Martin with Cosmic Times with my first pick of the month. In the previews catalog, I'm on page 206, and the question I want to ask you is, what if Earth's gravity went to a fraction of what it is right now, and we could float around, jump up in the sky? That's the premise of the new book from Image Comics called Skyward. It seems really cool. The art looks great. The story seems original and creative. It's set in the future where Earth doesn't have as much gravity as it does, and I guess there's a mysterious plot to bring the gravity back, and there's bad guys and good guys, and it follows a character named Willa Fowler, who was born after the gravity went out, and so she's used to not having gravity. It just seems like a really cool premise, a really cool concept. I could see this as a series or a movie, but right now I want to see it as a comic book, and I will be checking out Skyward. Number one, it's on page 206 of the previews catalog. It's $3.99, and it's from Image Comics. I'm checking it out. I think you should too.
Skyward on page 206 from Image is my next pick. Remember those old Calvin and Hobbes cartoons when Calvin would imagine what it would be like if gravity kind of lost its grip on him and he'd be floating up and stuff, out of the atmosphere and whatnot? Skyward is a series that seems to be based on that basic kind of concept. Now, it's 20 years after gravity suddenly become a fraction of what it was. Don't know what led to that, but okay, fine, that seems interesting. Now, the showrunner of Lucifer on Fox is the writer of this series, and frankly, the concept seems like a lot of fun, so I'm planning on giving it a chance, and maybe you should too. Once again, that's Skyward on page 206 from Image Comics.
Alright, this is Alien Al again. Alan in Japan for my next pick for this month's preview spotlight. This time I am in the Image section on page 224. And my pick is Elsewhere, number 6, story, Jay Farber, art and cover. I'm going to butcher this. Sumilier Kesgen and Ron Riley. It's on sale April 4th, 32 pages full color for $3.99. Emilia and DB Cooper, face new threats on their journey across Korvath. But the biggest threat comes from within. That's a nice solicit, short and sweet. I've been enjoying the series. I even had a letter printed in issue 4, as Drew warned me that I should pick that one up. Actually, I ordered it, but I still haven't read issues 2 and 3, which is very strange, but I'm still enjoying it. So that tells you that the writing must be pretty good. I can feel like I entered the story in the middle and still enjoy it. And so that is my next pick, Elsewhere, number 6. I hope you can try it out. And on to the next pick.
Hey guys, it's Drew with a pick from Image, and it is Lazarus 27. It's back. So it's also back from a long hiatus where it did that Lazarus 66 or something like that. Side quest deal. X plus 67. Yeah, that's what it's called. And a bunch of not Rucka, not Mark Michael Lark doing the creating. So I'm excited to see the original team back on it. And this is going to kick off Fracture Prelude, the first issue of a new story arc. You've been reading Lazarus. Just wanted to remind you that the new one's back. Don't forget to reserve your copy. Your retailer might have fell asleep on it too, because it's been gone for a while. So let them know to get that back in stock. And if you're new to Lazarus, I don't think you start here, but you can get that $10 trade. And check out that first volume and see if you like that, and then catch up to Lazarus 27. So check that out in the Image section. It's Lazarus 27. This is Drew. I'm going to do another Image book, and it's going to be Manifest Destiny number 36. This is written by Chris Dingus and glorious art by the team of Matthew Roberts and Owen Gianni. The colors are beautiful. The art is amazing. The story is wild and crazy revisionist history of Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea and monsters and fauna and flora gone wild. It's great. And it's been going on for a long time. nice, healthy 36-issue run. This will be the end of this sixth trade. So a lot of great trades and hardcovers to discover. A $1 Image First Manifest Destiny to sample if you so desire. It's been around a long time, been producing some really high-quality comics from this team. So again, it's Chris Dingus, Matthew Roberts, Owen Gianni. A wonderful work. Manifest Destiny number 36. Check that out in the Image Comics section.
All right, this is Alan in Japan, alien out on the forums once again with my final pick this month in this month's preview spotlight. And this time I'm in the Marvel catalog, or the Marvel pullout booklet, or whatever you want to call it. And I'm on page 9, and the title is Domino, number 1. It's written by Gail Simone. I thought I'd give that a try, because I don't think she's written Domino before. Artist is David Baldiam. Cover by Greg Land and Frank D'Amarta. Lots of variant covers in this one. I know that's probably going to make it a pretty big seller, unfortunately. With number 2, we'll see what happens. I've been listening to the comic book page rankings, as you can tell. Anyway, the solicit reads, Impossible Curves, Impossible Shots, Impossible Targets. Marvel's number 1 Soldier of Fortune is back in an explosive new ongoing series. The product of a failed super soldier program, Nina Thurman always made her own luck as a sharp-shooting mercenary known as Domino. But what happens when her own powers betray her? The hunter becomes the hunted, as every mercenary in the game smells blood in the water. Plus, a pair of beloved Marvel characters return. 32 pages, rated T, $3.99. Really? Rated T? Oh, this should be interesting. Okay. Anyway, Domino, yes. I always thought, I just read a few issues with her in it. Usually it was with Cable, I think. But I overall thought, oh man, this Domino's a and, you know, she has a very, I guess, unique look to her. So with the one eye in black and the other one white and all of that. Interesting costume usually, and big guns and pouches or whatever sometimes. Yeah, she's a character basically from the, you know, I guess 80s and 90s. And so, yeah, it's always, for me, it's always been interesting to read her when I do read her. And so I'm looking forward to this one. I don't know what's going to happen with number 2. I'll probably order it just to, you know, keep up with it. But we'll see what happens. All right, that's my final pick. Thanks, John, for allowing us this chance to voice our picks on the podcast. And thank everybody else for their picks this month. And all I have to say now is aloha.
Hey, guys, it's Drew with a pick from Marvel. It's Thanos Annual number 1, written by Donny Cates, with a little help from Kieran Gillen, Al Ewing, Ryan North, Christopher Hastings, Katie Cook, with art by Jeff Shaw, Katie Cook, Fraser Irving, and a cover by Mike Diodata. This is starring the breakout character Cosmic Ghost Rider, so I'm checking this out. I don't do a lot of annuals, but every once in a while they sound really cool, so this is one of those that sounds really cool. Thanos has been killing it, Donny Cates has been killing it, so I'm definitely checking this out. It's a $4.99 price tag. You gotta pay a little extra for all that extra goodies from Marvel. So check out the Thanos Annual number 1 from Marvel.
Brawlinator again. I'm joining everyone in the Marvel previews. I'm on page 51. My pick this month is Thanos Annual number 1. It's 40 pages for $5, with stories being written by Donny Cates, as well as Kieran Gillen, Al Ewing, Katie Cook, Christopher Hastings, and Ryan North. The artists on this annual include Jeff Shaw, Katie Cook, Fraser Irving, and others. And all I'm getting from the solicit is Thanos is likely the most evil being in the universe, and if anyone would know, it's the all-new Cosmic Ghost Rider. Let the spirit of vengeance be your guide on a tour through the worst of the worst as he reveals the most heinous deeds ever perpetrated by the Mad Titan or by anyone else. Now, I like what Cates and Shaw are doing with the current Thanos ongoing. I really enjoyed God Country that they did for Image. I'm planning to pick this up too. I know that John wasn't that blown away by it. I think Drew is enjoying as well. I hope you guys are too. Sounds like this is a star-studded lineup of talent contributing also. And it's going to be a story where the Cosmic Ghost Rider gets plenty of page time. I like the Cosmic Ghost Rider. I'm one of those that thought it was Deadpool at first. I'm not going to spoil it and tell you who it turns out to be, but I'm in. Check this out for yourself on page 51 of the Marvel Previews.
This is Dr. Mo with my next pick for the Previews Spotlight episode. It's X-Men Red, number 3 from Marvel Comics. The Hate Machine, Part 3. The battle rages in India, and the newest X member may be the key to the team's survival. As I record this, I have just read X-Men Red number 1, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've been waiting such a long time for Tom Taylor to get his hands on an X team. He's been doing a great job in All New Wolverine. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. One of the things that I like about X-Men Red that it's a throwback title in a way that it's really focused on the notion of Xavier's dream and of wanting mutants and humans to coexist, but at the same time, it's putting a different spin on it. It is very much a superheroic in that old school tradition of the X-Men, though the lineup certainly is not any sort of throwback X-Men lineup, which is actually a good thing. I'm not going to get heavily into spoilers for issue 1 of X-Men Red, but suffice to say, I think the majority of the team comes together in that first issue. I think I'm hoping, based on the pacing, that we will not get something that is drawn out, unlike Astonishing X-Men. I feel like I'm hoping that these arcs will be a little bit shorter and the pacing will pick up a bit. If you're a fan of the X-Men line of titles, I suggest you try X-Men Red. It's nice to see Jean Grey, adult Jean Grey, back and in more of a leader, and certainly more of a leadership role. It's something that had been hinted at, before she passed, during the Morrison era. And I'm really curious to see what Tom Taylor does. He is aided in this by artist Muhammad Asra, who has been around for a few years now. He's really good at drawing superheroics. He's a great superhero artist. It's just an overall fun and enjoyable title. And I hope that it stands out from the other members of the X line. X-Men Red number 3 can be found on page 59 of the Marvel Previews catalog and costs $3.99.
Billy Hogan again. My ninth pick this time comes in the back half of Previews on page 256 from Abstract Studios with Strangers in Paradise 25 number 3. Writer, cover, and story artist Terry Moore. Kachu's hunt for Stephanie, a Parker girl on the run, takes her to the Florida Keys in a hair-raising visit with Stephanie's, how do we put this, eccentric family? Meanwhile, Francine grows restless with Kachu's extended absence and begins to suspect she might need help. 24 pages, black and white, for $3.99. I first began reading Terry Moore's comic book series Strangers in Paradise around issue 74, and I've fallen in love with his story and art and storytelling style, so much so that I've picked up every series he's done since, and I'll continue to read any comic book series he publishes. And I'm glad he's revisiting Strangers in Paradise once again. If you know someone who loves comic books but hates superheroes, give them any issue or any trade paperback of any of Terry Moore's comic books from Abstract Studios. And next to it, there is a solicit for Motor Girl Volume 2, the series he just finished. That one is titled No Man Left Behind, and it's 104 pages for $15.99. And the first volume of Motor Girl is also available. On the next page, there's a full-page ad of the cover for this issue, so check out Strangers in Paradise number 3 from Abstract Studios. Billy Hogan again. My 10th pick comes in the back half of previews on page 258 with Athena Voltaire number 3 from Action Lab Entertainment. Writer Steve Bryant, art by Ismail Canolis, and cover art by Steve Bryant. Athena and company attempt a desperate gambit to keep the Nazi occultists from obtaining the final piece of the mysterious tablet. 32 pages full color for $3.99. Athena Voltaire, I believe, is a character that is rooted in the pulp era of heroes like Doc Savage, The Shadow, and while I haven't read any of the classic pulp stories of these characters, I have read Doc Savage and The Shadow comic book stories, and I've enjoyed them. So that's why I decided to jump on board with this new ongoing series of Athena Voltaire. I've seen the character before online, and so I couldn't pass up the opportunity to check the series out. I believe the first issue might be coming in my next shipment from Discount Comic Book Service, and I can't wait to read her adventures.
Hey everybody, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. So, I'm in the previews catalog, and I'm on page 258. I'm looking at The Ghost and the Owl. It's a spotlight on that page. And this is just a really cool story. So the story itself, it's about a ghost who's out there wandering around. And there's an owl. Cue the owl sounds. There we go. There's an owl that befriends the ghost, I guess, who tries to take them home, or there's some kind of a mystery. I don't know. The cover is beautiful. I love the art. It's only $9.99. People, it's 10 bucks here. Who wouldn't buy it? It's only $10. So again, it's on page 258. It's called The Ghost and the Owl. Go out to your comic store today and go get it. Who?
Hey guys, it's Drew, and I'm in the back half of previews with Ad House Books and their comic Live Work Number 1. This is a 6-issue miniseries written by Pat Palermo with an art and a cover by Pat Palermo. I like the look of it. It's about working in the New York art world, which I don't know a lot about. But it has a cool, crisp look to the cover. It is a bit pricey, so it's listed at $6, and because of that, we've put that into our Comics for Fun and Profit Spec Pick Bundle over at Cowabunga Comics. So if you're looking for an LCS and you're looking for cool small press number ones, we have our Spec Pick Bundle from Comics for Fun and Profit over at Cowabunga. Give them a call. And they'll hook you up, all deeply discounted and delivered safe and secure right to your door. So check that out and check out Live Work Number 1 from Ad House.
Brawlinator here. I'm joining everyone in the back of the book. I'm on page 273. This is the first hardcover collection for the critically acclaimed Animosity series. Let me read the solicit. One day, for no reason, the animals woke up. They started thinking. They started talking. They started taking revenge. The world is plunged into chaos as the newly intelligent animals begin to fight humanity and simply fight each other for their own life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. In the midst of the turmoil is Jessie, an 11-year-old girl, and her dog Sandor, who is devoted to her and her protection. 1 year after the incident, Jessie and Sandor begin a cross-country journey to find Jessie's half-brother Adam, who is living in San Francisco. This is a great story. I remember it coming to my attention back when we did the previews solicits when Aftershock was just putting out some brand new books. They had just hit the scene, and Animosity was part of maybe their second or third wave of new comics. This comic has been getting rave reviews since it first came out back then, and this hardcover collects the first two arcs, Animosity 1 through 8, along with World of Animosity number 1. If you missed it, jump on with this collection. It's the Animosity hardcover collection on page 273 of this month's previews. Check it out.
It's Drew. I'm in the back half with Survival Fetish number 1 from Black Mask Comics. Black Mask has always been one of my favorite publishers. Put out a lot of great stuff. Start a lot of cool things. Sometimes they don't finish them, but they always have a lot of really cool ideas. This one seems to be kind of cool as well. And it's set in downtown Honolulu. So it's a Hawaii set comic. Don't know if there'll be an appearance by Jason or not. That'd be cool. But it's got a cool synopsis. It's a long solicit. I'll let you read it. It is only a 5-issue miniseries. So it should be fun. Now, this is written by Patrick Kindlin with art by Antonio Fuso. And Patrick Kindlin worked, co-wrote and co-created We Can Never Go Home with Matt Rosenberg. And then Matt Rosenberg begat Four Kids Walk Into a Bank and then blew up when he went over to Marvel. Patrick Kindlin stayed behind to work in indie comics. Still a talented dude. So let's support him and his book, Survival Fetish number 1. Check that out. For Black Mask Comics. It is also part of the Comics for Fun and Profit Spec Pick Bundle. So this will also be bundled together by Cowabunga, deeply discounted and delivered safe and secure to your door if that's something you need. So check that out.
Aloha from Hawaii. That's what it reads on cover B of Survival Fetish number 1. I'm on page 302 of the Black Max section. This is Jason. So I'm not going to read the whole solicit because I know Drew is submitting a clip on Survival Fetish number 1. I'm just going to, skim through the solicit. So basically, it starts off with, downtown Honolulu is a sniper's alley. And, wait a minute. No. I'm here in downtown Honolulu right now on the famous Hotel Street and Bishop Street. And, right now it's sunny. It's, a comfortable temperature. It's very nice and comfortable. So I guess Shayir is the main character. He's this local celebrity, for transporting medicine and information across a no man's land. I think some of this is like ripped from our local headlines, because I remember a couple months ago, somebody was arrested for selling those blood sugar test strips on the black market and making very good money too as well. So, and also too, and the solicit also continues that basically that, Survival Fetish mixes political intrigue. It's an election year for our governor, with deep characterizations and high-octane action. Well, we did have some high-octane action last month in January with that false missile alert. So, as you can see, guys, I'm just having fun with this. And yes, I am in downtown Honolulu right now. So, if you guys get a chance, pick up Survival Fetish number 1. I definitely am picking this up. And, and also I want to give a shout out to Drew, mahalo, for recommending this book. So again, if you guys get a chance, pick up Survival Fetish number 1. I definitely will check this mini series out. I want to see how accurate downtown Honolulu is. So thank you for listening. Back to you, John.
This is Dr. Mo of my next pick for the preview spotlight episode. It's Black AF: Widows and Orphans number 1 from Black Mask Studios. In a world where only black people have superpowers, what is the price do they fetch on the black market? From the pages of Black, this new story features Anansi and Hood Rat investigating a human trafficking ring that will take them across the globe and bring them face to face with dark pasts of abuse, child soldiers, and families torn apart. This series is a continuation of the Black series, which was originally released by Black Mask Studios in 2016, but the series did not wrap up until 2017. Both Widows and Orphans and the original series Black were written by Kwanze Osefo. One of the reasons why I like this series is because it takes contemporary issues and looks at them through the lens of superheroes and superpowered beings. Reminds me of what Milestone was doing back in the 1990s, however, a bit more gritty. If you are looking for something different than traditional superhuman, superpowered fare from Marvel and DC Comics, this series may be, or rather this franchise may be something that will pique your interest. Black AF, Widows and Orphans, number 1, can be found on page 303 of Previews and costs $3.99.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Brawlinator again. I'm on page 308 of the Previews catalog, and it's the return of RoboCop and RoboCop Citizen's Arrest. Brian Wood and Jorge Coelho have created a provocative vision of the future where justice is crowdsourced and lethal. It's been decades since the RoboCop program first began, and corporations have taken over the schools and the government, and law enforcement is the biggest private contractor of all. Traditional police forces no longer exist, as all citizens are now encouraged and rewarded to spy on their neighbors. There's only one authority on the streets, and it's RoboCop. I loved this film when I saw it in theaters back when it first came out. Yes, I am that old. This looks like it's totally ignoring the reboot that came out a couple of years ago, which I've never seen. I heard it got terrible reviews. RoboCop Citizen's Arrest is about what happens when we abdicate that responsibility, and calling this series a love letter to the socio-political prescience of the original RoboCop film is probably an understatement. The movie came out in 1987, but this story stands on its own, inspired by modern-day events and concerns. Brian Wood has pushed back against social justice warriors in his professional life. Back in 2015, outspoken artist Tess Fowler attacked a comic book professional's behavior at cons and then named him, which elicited a response by Brian Wood, who put it in a newsletter saying that public shaming can be treacherous. If you need to do it for the right reasons. And if you do it for the wrong reasons, you will not get the results you need. I'm wondering if RoboCop Citizen's Arrest is a result of that incident. I'm not sure, but I do like this property. I'm going to check it out. Check it out with me. It's over on page 308 of this month's previews.
My next pick is on page 310 from Boom Studios. It's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2018 Annual Number 1. This is the comic I've been waiting for. Now, in addition to getting the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, we're getting a number of other teams to help fight off Drakkon, or Lord Drakkon, which is one of the new characters they've introduced that's actually gotten to be, you know, rather popular, I think, in the Power Ranger community. Now, the solicit mentions Dino Charge, RPM, Time Force, Ninja Steel, and Dino Thunder. Hopefully we'll get a couple others, but I'm pretty cool with those. I would kind of like Ninja Storm as well, but, you know, hey, can't get have everything. Or maybe we can. We'll find out. If you're a Power Rangers fan like I am, this issue should be worth checking out. Once again, that's Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2018 Annual Number 1 from Boom Studios on page 310.
This is Martin Piero with Cosmic Times telling you to turn to page 335 for Void of Heroes, Volume 1, Subterranean Dawn, Trade Paperback. After the dust of humanity is settled, one lonely mech tries to escape the wreckage of war in his quest for the light. This mechanical warrior must face the darkness that lurks inside. It's an action-packed voyage of self-discovery, as this one forgotten soldier fights a final battle to reach the surface. Based on the dynamic video game, Void of Heroes is a dark sci-fi...
Martin, what are you doing?
I'm telling about Void of Heroes.
But what's this voice? What are you doing?
It's my epic trailer voice.
But this is an epic comic.
I know. I want it to sound epic. That's what the voice is about.
You don't have to do the voice in order for this to be epic. People, Void of Heroes is an epic comic. It's a great story. You should really check it out. Tell them what page it's on.
Yeah, Void of Heroes is on page 335 of the previews catalog under the Cosmic Time section.
Yes, yes. And did you tell them how many pages it is?
It's 136 pages. It collects the whole series. It's only $17.99. Mm-hmm. It's got some bonus material. Yes. It's going to be really epic.
Yes. So you need to make sure that you get out and you get this trade paperback. The art in it is spectacular. The story is great. And like Martin said, it's epic.
Yeah, I just want to say, please, people, check out this book. When the series was released, it kind of went under the radar a little bit. This is your chance to check out Void of Heroes. It's really good, I promise. And this is the first volume. There's a second volume coming if we can get the sales up high enough on this. So please check out Void of Heroes, Volume 1. It's on page 335.
That's funny.
Why are you laughing at me?
Hey guys, it's Heidi with Cosmic Times. I'm on page 335 of the catalog, and hey, I'm looking at Cosmic Times and what we have. One of the things that we have this month is Sugar Boogers issue 5. So again, it's a continuation of the Gingy Ninjis and their quest. But now we're going to be talking about Frankenbrock, and we're going to be talking about the Licubus Beast. We're really excited about it. It's only $3.99, and it's 24 pages full color. And yeah, it's going to be really great.
Hey Heidi, did you tell them about Sugar Boogers number 5?
I did. I was just telling them about it, Martin. Yeah.
Did you tell them it's on page 335 of the catalog?
I did. It's on page 335 of the catalog. Have I mentioned that?
Did you tell them it's written and illustrated by Michael Duron?
No, I didn't tell them that. But hey, it is. Michael Loco Dr. Ron illustrated and wrote it, and it's really great. It's just a great story. It's super cute.
Did you tell them it's only $3.99 for all this awesome sugary goodness?
Awesome sugary goodness. $3.99. Yay.
Did you tell them they need to go out and pre-order at the comic store right now?
You need to order it right now. Do it now.
That's right. Order Sugar Boogers issue 5 from your local comic shop. Make sure you get this book. It's a great story. The story continues of Sugar Boogers.
Order it today.
Let's support our friends over at Cosmic Times. If you're interested in stories about mech combat, check out Void of Heroes Volume 1 trade paperback there on page 335. It looks like a fun read. I'm going to be getting it, and there's also a free-to-play multiplayer mobile game that this is based on that also looks kind of cool. So like I said, let's support these guys and check it out. And also don't forget their other book, Sugar Boogers, which Heidi had talked about a few minutes ago.
For my next comic, I'm on page 338 in the Dynamite section. Writer Bill Mantlow and artist Jackson Butch Geis first set sail with Swords of the Swashbucklers in October 1984, courtesy of a prestige format tale published in Marvel Graphic Novel No. 14. The success of their daring debut led to a bimonthly Swashbuckler series. That's bimonthly as in it came out every 2 months. 12 two-fisted installments of blazing ray guns, clashing cutlasses, and creatures beyond imagination. The story in Swords of the Swashbucklers is of a spirited teenager named Domino Blackthorn Drake, just a normal girl until she stumbles upon an alien artifact, acquires uncanny power, and becomes a beacon for intergalactic trouble. She has a tabby cat named Captain Kidd in tow, and she's joined by a motley crew of the Star Shadow, a spacefaring pirate ship captained by the charismatic and fearless Radder. Domino embarks on a cosmic odyssey to save her kidnapped parents and overthrow the evil colonizer empire. Wow. Imagine being this bright-eyed girl on a galaxy-wide escapade full of high-energy antics straight out of the Guardians of the Galaxy and Pirates of the Caribbean, and you've got Swords of the Swashbucklers. The last we saw of the crew of the Star Shadow in the pages of Bill Mantlow and Butch Geis's Swords of the Swashbucklers, it seemed that all was lost. A decades later, Raider and her crew of the Star Shadow returns to bring their adventuring to the cosmos once again. Mark Guggenheim and Andrea Muddy team up to continue the epic space adventure for Dynamite. But this all began when Michael Mantlo, brother of Bill Mantlo, started a Kickstarter campaign to not only fund the re-release of Swords of the Swashbucklers, but also to help pay for the medical bills for Bill Mantlo, who was physically and cognitively crippled with brain damage after being run over by a hit-and-run driver almost 25 years ago. Mr. Mantlo can barely talk or use his hands, and his short-term memory is nearly non-existent. By all accounts, the Kickstarter was a tremendous success, and now, after more than a quarter of a century out of print and out of sight, the epic space opera has returned in a gloriously remastered edition and in this new series continuing the adventures of Domino Drake and the crew of the Star Shadow. I certainly hope this Mantlo Guy series entertains a whole new generation of fans, and I hope that Andrea Muddy and Mark Guggenheim can carry the torch for many issues to come. Check it out. It's on page 338 in the Dynamite section of Previews.
Billy Hogan again. My 11th and final pick comes this time on page 396 in the back half of Previews. From New England Comics, it's The Tick Number 4, written by Cullen Bunn and Jimmy Z. Johnston, cover and story artist by Dwayne Redhead. While clowns and ninjas are trying to murder them, the Tick and his new companion struggle to find their way out of the monstrous laboratory known only as the facility as the adventure ticks down to an explosive finale. The Amazon Tick Show has debuted to overwhelming support. Don't get left behind on this wild and exciting new story. 32 pages full color for $3.99. If you're not familiar with The Tick, it's a loving satire of the superhero genre originally created by Ben Edlund. I have yet to see the Amazon series, but I'm a big fan of the Tick cartoon of the 90s and the very short-lived Tick live-action series on Fox Network, I think, in the previous decade. I enjoy this lovable spoof of the superhero genre and superhero tropes as a good way to laugh with the superhero genre with The Tick Number 3. John, thanks for providing this forum so that we can all share our enthusiasm for the comic book medium.
Hey guys, it's Drew, way back in the back of Previews with Dayglow A-Hole number 1 from Silver Sprocket Comics, written by Ben Passmore with art and cover by Ben Passmore. And this is a trippy looking comic and social political commentary mixed with punk nonsense and gore drawn in vibrant fluorescent colors. Sounds cool to me. A little post-apocalyptic bent to it. I'm looking forward to checking this out. Never read anything by Silver Sprocket before, I don't think. And so this is kind of cool. A hefty price tag of $6. That's why we at Comics for Fun and Profit have put that into the spec pick bundle of the month over at Cowabunga Comics. So if that's something that sounds good to you, you can get a deep discount on this and the other picks that I've mentioned today over at Cowabunga with a K. Cowabunga with a K. Check them out. And check out Dayglow A-Hole number 1 from Silver Sprocket.
Yes, Brawlinator again. I'm in the Titan Comics section, way back in the back half of the book on page 420 of the Previews catalog. Now, this is really special. It's the official graphic novel adaptation of the Beatles' iconic animated film, Yellow Submarine, released to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the movie's release. This was written and illustrated by Bill Morrison, the creative director of Bongo Comics from 1993 to 2012, and recently he became the editor of Mad Magazine just a few weeks ago. This is the story of the Beatles recruited to be the captain of the Yellow Submarine to help him free Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and the world of Pepperland from the music-hating Blue Meanies. Music-loving underwater paradise of Pepperland has been overrun by the music-hating Blue Meanies and their leader, Chief Blue Meanie. They turn the people of Pepperland into living statues by dropping apples on them and imprison the Pepperland's guardians, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, inside a soundproof blue glass globe before confiscating all the musical instruments in the land. Pepperland's mayor sends an aging sailor, young Fred, out in the fabled yellow submarine to find help. And he travels to our world, where he stumbles across the Beatles and begs them to help him free his world. Of course, they agree. They all head back to Pepperland, teaming up with Jeremy the Nowhere Man along the way to help overthrow the evil Blue Meanies through the power of music and love, of course. Even if nothing that I just said made a lick of sense, and even if you've never seen this trippy animated movie, you may still enjoy this. Bill is a master artist and writer, and he is a huge Beatles fan. In fact, many people may not know that Bill, in addition to being one of the artists who used to work for Matt Groening of Simpsons fame, Bill actually had already worked on a similar project from Dark Horse way back in 1999 that never saw the light of day. He completed 26 pages penciled in ink of that Yellow Submarine project before the plug was pulled. But somebody who mattered must have seen the work, because this graphic novel adaptation clocks in at 128 pages. If you are a Beatles fan, or you know someone who is, this may be a great gift. Check it out on page 420 in the Titans Comics section of Previews. All puns are intended.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
it's Brawlinator again for my final solicit, which is also in the Titan Comics section. It's on page 422 of the previous catalog. Another nostalgic trip down memory lane. 50 years later, it's finally time to return to the village. Titan Comics is reviving the cult TV series The Prisoner with a new comic book series written by Peter Milligan and artist Colin Lorimer. The original Prisoner series was centered around Patrick McGugan's unnamed former spy, who was kidnapped and kept against his will in a mysterious village where everyone was assigned a number. As number 6, he continually butted heads with a variety of authority figures in the role of number 2. Each assigned to break his will and discover why he had quit being a secret agent. Now, this actually isn't the first comic book version of the beloved 1960s series. Following two unfinished adaptations in the 70s by Marvel Comics, including a near-mythical attempt by Jack Kirby, DC finally actually published a sequel to the television series called The Prisoner, Shattered Visage, in 1988 by Dean Motter and Mark Asquith. This new series from Titan will launch in April of 2018 in order to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the TV show's U.S. debut. It actually first aired in the U.K. on September 29, 1967. Now, there's a great-looking Mike Allred cover for the debut issue if you're an Allred fan. And speaking of that Jack Kirby adaptation, Titan found those pages. They were supposedly long lost to history, but not only did they find those Jack Kirby pages of his attempt to do an adaptation of The Prisoner, but they have remastered it, and they are releasing it in its unfinished form. You can check that out over on page 424 of the previews catalog, and it's very tempting. Now, that's all from me this month. Thanks again, John, for allowing all of us to participate. I know we all have a blast. Looking forward to this episode, and I'll see you guys on the forums at comicbookpage.com.
This is Todd Cassell from Phoenix, Arizona, with a pick from page 424 of the previews catalog in the Titan section, and it's The Prisoner, Jack Kirby and Gil Kane Artist Edition. Okay, you probably just heard about the new Prisoner series that's coming out. Well, this is also coming out, and I'm actually more excited about this. Now, I was a viewer of The Prisoner back in its day, not when it was on TV live, but when it was rerunning, I believe even on some PBS channels rerunning back in the 70s. I loved this show. It was really cool. Yes, in today's golden age of quality television, it probably doesn't completely stand up, but in those days, there was not much quality television, and The Prisoner was a rare find, and you could finish it up in just a handful of episodes because it only lasted one season, but it was unique, it was colorful, it was psychedelic, it was just a blast. And I do recall always hearing about the fact that there was going to be a Prisoner comic by Jack Kirby. And I had heard about this over the years. Obviously, it never happened. But there was art by Kirby. And in fact, Jack Kirby and Gil Kane were going to be artists on this series. That never came to be, but the artwork did come to be. Jack Kirby. You go back and listen to any of my entries on Monthly Preview Spotlight, and you'll hear just about 75% of them have to do with Jack Kirby art. I love Jack Kirby art. I don't love Jack Kirby writing, and the cool thing about this was that it was going to be written by Steve Englehart. The artists were going to be Jack Kirby, Gil Kane. Whatever the story is with this artwork, it has turned up. Titan is going to print it in a deluxe art edition, and just around the same time they start the new series. And so pretty much, I guess I just gave you all the information, so I don't need to read the brief synopsis. But really what this is an artist edition of the artwork that has been found by Jack Kirby and Gil Kane. Take a look at page 424. The top page, well, the cover is definitely Kirby. The top section is definitely Gil Kane. The bottom section is definitely Kirby. I love both these artists. I love Kirby more. I love Gil Kane. Very close third or fourth from that day. Of comic book artists, and I think this is going to be really cool. The hardcover is 64 pages, and it's retails for $79.99, but you all know how to get that for cheaper. I don't want to say cheap. Cheap is a negative connotation. You all know how to get that in a less expensive price range. So please go out and get it, because if you get it, then maybe they'll dredge up some more hidden artwork that they didn't dredge up the first time. I just think this is so cool. The TV series was cool, and seeing Kirby and Kane attempting to illustrate a comic book series based on that series, super cool.
My final pick of the month is on page 446 from Valiant. It's Exo Man of War number 14. Now, this marks Exo's return to Earth after quite an absence, and it kicks off Harbinger Wars number 2. Now, Matt Kent is writing and Ariel Olivetti is handling the art, and this promises to be a major turning point for Exo. So if you're following the Valiant universe and the ongoing stuff there, you might want to check this out, because it leads into Harbinger Wars 2, and that looks to be the major crossover event for Valiant for 2018. Once again, that's Exo Man of War number 14 on page 446 from Valiant.
Hey everybody, Martin with Cosmic Times for our last pick of the month. This is on page 453. This is from Vault Comics. I'm going to be honest, I don't know enough about Vault Comics, but I'm liking what they're putting out here. All these books look great in the catalog, but the one that really caught my attention was Wasted Space. It's a sci-fi adventure. It's about a prophecy and a prophecy not coming true, and it just sounds really cool. It's in the kind of, seems like in the vein of Star Wars a little bit, but the cover treatment is what first caught my attention. The covers look great. So if the covers are indicative of what's inside the book, I'm definitely on board. I am going to reserve this at my local comic shop. I'm going to check it out. It's Wasted Space number 1. It seems to be a great sci-fi adventure. It's on page 453. I'm checking it out. I say you check it out.
Aloha, guys. This is Jason from Hawaii. Hey, I'm just giving you guys a heads up that the Amazing Comic-Con, you know, have already released their 2018 convention schedule. For more information, check out AmazingComicCon.com. Now, they're going to kick off the summer in Las Vegas on the weekend of June 29th to July 1st. And they have an amazing lineup. First off, Jason Aaron, the writer of Thor. Yeah, and next up, Jim Starlin and Ron Lim, you know, the co-creators of the Infinity Gauntlet miniseries. And next, they have Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, the writers of Harlequin. You know, also, they have Kevin Eastman, the co-creator of the Teenage Ninja Mutant Ninja Turtles. And also, they have artist Freddie Williams II. If I remember correctly, Freddie Williams did the artwork on the first Batman Turtles crossover in the last couple years. You know, they also have artist Scotty Young. And they also have the Green Ranger, Jason David Frank. So they'll all be there in Las Vegas. Again, the dates are from June 29th to July 1st.
Tickets are now on sale. So, you know, again, check out the amazingcomiccon.com for more information, you know, such as an updated guest list and also ticket prices as well. Now, they're going to be winding down their convention in Hawaii, and they renamed it the Amazing Comic-Con Aloha. The dates will be from August 24th to August 26th, and they have the lineup so far, it's amazing. They got Jim Starlin and Ron Lin. Again, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet creative team. They got legendary writer Marv Wolfman, you know, the writer for the new Teen Titans series back in the 80s. And they also have Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor coming to Hawaii. And that's great. That's really great. So again, Amazing Comic-Con Aloha. You know, the dates are August 24th to August 26th. Tickets for the Hawaii convention will go on sale on Tuesday, February 27th. So again, for more information, check out AmazingComicCon.com for an updated guest list and ticket prices. So again, if you guys are in Las Vegas during the weekend of June 29th to July 1st, stop by the convention. Check out the convention. If you guys are vacationing in Hawaii, you know, on the weekend of August 24th to August 26th, you know, stop on by, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, this guest list for Hawaii will be updated over the next few weeks, probably over the next few months. So, you know, again, more information, check out AmazingComicCon.com. Thank you for listening. Back to you, John. Aloha, guys. This is Jason. I'm just doing my shout-out clip for last month's Preview Spotlight episode, and I want to give a shout-out to a few people who recommended things from the last Preview Spotlight episode. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Drew and Eric. Hey, guys, you know, thanks for recommending Star Wars Adventures number 8. You know, I know Otis Frampton is doing the backup Jawa story, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm going to pick up a couple copies of that issue from Dragon's Lairs. And I want to give a shout out to John. John, thank you very much for recommending the that Alterna Comics Zero Jumper number 1. Yeah, that storyline sounds pretty interesting. So I'm going to ask Lucas from Dragon's Lair to see if he can order me this miniseries. So again, John, thank you very much for recommending that. And to Todd. Todd, thank you very much for recommending Marvel Masterworks Captain America Volume 10 Hardcover. You know, I have this storyline in the Captain America Essentials, you know, but it's not the same because the Essentials is all black and white. And, you know, but this Marvel Masterworks, you know, that covers the storyline from issues 193 to 200, annual number 3, Marvel Treasury Special Captain America Bicentennial Battles. You know, just by looking at the solicit in the Marvel's Previews catalog, I mean, the colors really add to Jack Kirby's art style. It really does. It makes, you know, the art really pop off the page. So I'm going to be saving up a bit of change and, you know, maybe, you know, probably get it through in-stock trades sometime later this year. So again, Tom, thank you very much for recommending the Marvel Masterworks Captain America Volume 10 Hardcover. And to Brawlinator. Brawlinator, thank you for posting the solicits on the forum. Thank you very much, sir. You know, I look forward to hearing everybody's clips for this month's Preview Spotlight episode. You know, and to everyone, thank you very much for listening to my recommendations. You know, thank you very much. Until next time, aloha.
Hopefully everybody found something they were interested in this time around in previews. There was a lot of stuff in there. One of the topics that came up on the forum this time around was that of duplicate picks. And I do want to kind of address that because we had a number of them this time around. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to exclude kind of the things I've duplicated from this discussion. And the reason I'm going to do that is I've gotten into the really bad habit of recording my clips pretty much right before I edit this episode and after you all have sent stuff in. And that gives me the chance to listen to the other clip that's been sent in and just say, yeah, I'm planning on getting it too, or add something I think they forgot or something like that. But we had duplicate picks for Black Hammer, Age of Doom, Dr. Star and the Kingdom of Lost Tomorrows, Aliens Dust to Dust, Astro City, Thanos Annual, and Survival Fetish. Now, personally, I don't really have a problem with this because I think it's kind of interesting when a number of people pick the same thing or are excited about it or something like that. But I also get that it's a little redundant sometimes. And if the first solicit didn't really, or the first clip didn't really, you know, pique your interest on it, maybe the others won't either. So this month, I went ahead and left them all in. Whether I do that moving forward or not, I'm not sure. I would like to hear what you all think about that. Part of why we have the forum thread for people to post what they're going to pick is to help reduce that. But those duplicates and stuff, but we're still getting them. And again, like I said, I personally don't have a problem with that. But I also get from a listener perspective, listening to the same comic being talked about three times in a row could be a little redundant. So if you all could head to the forum and let me know what you all think is the best solution for this, because the last thing I want to do is have people feel that they can't talk about something they're really passionate about because somebody has already else said, hey, I'm going to talk about it. And I don't want to just kind of arbitrarily, you know, toss clips left, right, and center or something just because, oh, it's a dupe, it's the second one I got, throw it or something. Because I understand it takes a little time and effort to put these clips together for you guys. And I respect that, and I want to give you guys a chance to share your love of comics and whatnot. In this particular month, we would have, had I selectively removed some of those duplicates, this episode would have been about 7 minutes and 42 seconds shorter, which is about an 8.88% decrease in time. And that's from before I started talking, just so you guys know, because I'm not factoring that in. That's just the length of the clips. That's also not counting the bumpers between them. It would have gone from an hour and 26 minutes and 45 seconds to about an hour and 19 minutes and 3 seconds. Now, if that's a big deal or not, you guys tell me. It also depends on how many dupes we've got. So like I said, I'm looking for a little bit of a feel for what you guys as a whole think. Do you like the duplicate clips? Do you not like them? Should they be cut? Should they not? And what's the good way to do it? Now, just a little behind the scenes, the way I tend to go and edit this episode has a couple of different parts, and for the editing of the solicitation, or the clips you guys sent on the solicitations, I should say, what I do is, as I get everybody's clips in the emails, I create folders and letter them as to for each different contributor. So this time around, I had, you know, a folder for each of Alan, Billy, Chris, Drew, Heidi, Jason, Martin, Mo, Nathan, and Todd, and in the order I got them. And that's kind of how I'm defaulting the order I play them in. But then what I do is once I've gotten them either ahead of time or as I'm starting to assemble the episode, I open up Audacity, I draw up all the clips in for a particular person, listen through them, do whatever audio leveling, editing, and cleanup I need to do. In some cases, that's basically just listen through and say, oh, wow, that was a great clip. In other cases, wow, that's really low audio, let me bump it up, or it's got some pauses, I can make them sound a little better by, you know, maybe trimming an or an ah here or there, things like that. Nothing to really shift the context or anything, but just to, again, respect you guys' time as listeners and tighten things up a little bit. But what that means is even though in the final episode, when they all get sorted and strung together, we may have two clips in a row on a given item, there's a significant time lag between the time I'm hearing the two clips. So at this point, if I were to go remove those couple of things, I'd have had to go back, listen to each pairing, figure out which do I think kind of represented the property better or something, and make that pick, which of course extends the editing time of this episode, which is something, frankly, I'm trying to avoid doing, because like this particular month right now on this weekend, it's, you know, Saturday afternoon as I'm recording this, and I've still got to edit the Weekly Comic Spotlight, the episode, which is the episode that goes up before this, and the episode that'll go up after this, plus I've got to do the number crunching and my article for the sales numbers for January, and I've got a couple of things else going on in my life right now that are eating up a little bit of time. So trying to balance editing time with keeping the episodes as tight and focused and enjoyable as possible. Again, I'm looking for you guys to kind of weigh in. There have been some people who say, yeah, you know, I really don't mind dupes. If somebody else wants to record on what I've got, that's great. Other people, it's like, hey, if the first one hasn't convinced me, the second or third probably won't. And others saying that, you know, hey, feel free to replace my clip if somebody else has one of it too. I get it, but I don't also want to have to do, well, so-and-so said this, so-and-so wants this, and having to juggle all of that, because that's another kind of logistical and organizational thing for me to contend with. So, like I said, for this month, since the discussion came in after people had already started sending in clips, I kind of wanted to just leave things going as it was. And I am certainly not suggesting if somebody else is sending a clip and you're passionate about it, that you can't send one in. You absolutely can. But that's also why we've got the forum on these things, to where you guys can kind of negotiate amongst yourselves, or maybe we just keep the dupes. Like I said, I'm not really sure what's the best solution on this. There are a lot of factors to consider, and I'm punting the decision for another month. That gives you guys a little bit of time to weigh in on this, but I would like to kind of have a resolution on this before the next previews comes out, just so I can kind of include that in the email I send out and things of that sort before people start sending in clips. Because, again, I don't want somebody to feel like they've wasted their time sending in a clip and it doesn't get used. That's not cool. All of that having been said, I've gone through the order form and stuff. I'm over at Shopping with Cowabunga these days. They're matching the DCBS discounts and stuff. I've been very happy with the service I've been getting there. DCBS is a good company, too, so if you're there and you're happy with it, by all means, stay with them. Both of these companies are doing great things for us. My order has come out to, I think, under 200 items this time, which is a little surprising. Usually it's a little above, but I just may have miscounted. And I haven't done my final pass, so I've probably missed a few things. Got 4 items from Dark Horse, 70 from DC, 5 from IDW, or 6 from IDW, 8 from Image, 76 from Marvel, about 34 from the back half. Again, that's a roughly 3-way split between Marvel, DC, and everybody else. And the average price I'm paying per item is around $2.79. I got a couple of high-ticket items, which, you know, is kind of what's skewing the numbers a little bit. But obviously, I found quite a few things to do. And when I went through and factored in the bundles over at Cowabunga, which with their order form, I'm finding to be a breeze to do, I was saving around $40 or something. So I know that favors those of us that are a little bit more all in on some of these properties and universes and such, but it's definitely worth checking out the bundles and stuff. So with that, I want to remind you all that the Comic Book Page teleconference will be on Saturday, February 17th at 7 p.m. Central, that you should check with your retailer for when they need your pre-orders in so they can use them to make their orders. That's part of the whole point of doing the pre-orders. The next previews is going to get released on Wednesday, February 28th. Again, by that point, I'd like to have a consensus as to how you all feel that the dupes should be handled. I will freely say it's also not a binding commitment on my part. I may just do what's easiest for me, but I want to know what you guys think. And that the deadline for the next preview spotlight is going to be Saturday, March 10th. That's whenever I wake up and get around to editing this stuff. Usually it's a pretty busy weekend. It's also likely to be the next time that the February numbers come out. So for me, it was an early morning, and I've already been at this for probably at least 4 hours because I've frankly been able to streamline the process a bit. And that the next previews page teleconference after the one on February 17th will be a month later on March 17th. Again, both of those at 7 p.m. Central. If you want to join in on those, there's instructions on the forum, but the bottom line, we do it over on Skype. You contact me, let me know, give me your contact information on Skype, post on the forum that you're going to show, so I actually know somebody's going to be there. That really kind of helps, because I'm allocating my evening to that, and I just want to make sure somebody's actually going to be there, if you know what I mean. And you don't have to be there the whole time. You don't have to be there right when it starts at 7 o'clock. Basically, you hop on Skype, you message me saying, hey, I'm here, I'm ready to get in on the call. Either I will start it, I will add you into the call, or I will restart it, depending how other things are going, if other people have maybe either come or gone already or whatnot. And we'll talk about what we talk about. It's always a lot of fun. I get a lot out of it, and I'm always looking forward to it. It's one of the few times I not only get to speak about comics, but actually get immediate feedback from somebody other than like one of the co-hosts and stuff. So I find the listener feedback stuff a lot of fun. So I want to thank Brawlinator for posting the links. That's a huge help. That's one less thing for me to do. And I want to thank everybody who contributed. That's Alan, Billy, Chris, Drew, Heidi, Jason, Martin, Mo, Nathan, Todd. This episode would have been way shorter without you guys. So I really appreciate all the clips and stuff. And like I said, I hope everybody found something worth reading, because there's just a ton of great comics out there. And if you need help finding what's right for you, this and the teleconference and the forum and the Slack channel and the podcast in general, that's what we're setting out to do, is to help match you up with the titles you'll enjoy the most. So with that, we'll call it an episode.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.